The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Malcolm O'Kelly is with us to help us get to the bottom of the Irish rugby depth chart when it comes to our second rows. Malcolm, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. How are you?
I'm good. Before we get into this, Kyle Sinclair banned for 2 weeks for asking the referee, are you effing serious? Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
I'm pretty sure it's not the first time a ref would have heard a curse word from a player, that's for sure. I don't know, maybe the fact he got on the microphone, I'm sure it must have been a case if he was doing one or two other things and that was just maybe the final nail in the coffin. But if it comes to a situation where you can't speak to the ref, I know maybe guys got to you know, deal with it properly. He's not the captain. Normally everything goes through the captain. But people are constantly trying to influence the ref. So it is a new move to kind of ban a guy for trying to influence a ref, you know, that's new.
Yeah, and also it's like not like it's the end of the season and it's not going to have any impact. It's a Six Nations game he's going to miss. So I don't know, maybe we'll wait and see exactly how many more suspensions there are for that. I think maybe you hit the nail on the head with the, if it's picked up, all of a sudden it becomes an issue for broadcasters and everybody else. And then
You let them away with it, yeah.
They have to be seen to be acting. Let's talk about the second row depth chart. I think it's fairly obvious who our number one second row is. It's Ireland captain James Ryan, essentially, right?
Sure, yeah. Like James Ryan, we're very fortunate to have a guy like him on board and to think that he's only 24. I've never seen such a second row so complete come onto the scene. His lines are running, his physicality, incredible. I think for him, he's kind of at a stage now where he needs to make that step to, you know, run on a line out and taking charge of that line out design, working with the likes of Leo or Paul. I think the likes of Paul would be brilliant for him. I'd be very positive as to where he's going.
We'll talk about the influence of Paul O'Connell, and you bring up Leo as well. We might talk about both of them in a little while at the end of this. Who's second? Who is our second? Who is James Ryan's partner if everybody's fit? Mm. And as things stand at the moment, who would you be picking?
As you said there, it's a partner, you know, and that's the important thing. It doesn't have to be another James Ryan. It has to be somebody that can fulfill all the roles and responsibilities that a second row pairing require. It can be someone maybe not as athletic, maybe more physical, maybe someone who's a really good ball carrier, maybe someone who will do all the dog work. Back in my time, Paul O'Connell and Dunico O'Callaghan were a great pairing, not because they were both brilliant at jumping or brilliant at carrying or brilliant at scrummaging. It's because a combination of the two fulfilled all the roles required. So similarly, here, James Ryan does fulfill a lot of the roles. But for me at the moment, Ian Henderson is definitely our go-to guy there because he actually will call the lineouts and James Ryan at the moment, you know, is still in that kind of period where he's learning how to manage a lineout, which is not easy and it does take time, and you have to be patient with him and he needs a certain amount of experience there. But Ian Henderson has taken that role on. Ian was originally a back row. An incredible back rower, huge, naturally powerful, gifted ball carrier, for him it probably took him a couple of years to find out where and how to be effective in the second row. But I think he's really come to the fore now, and we're seeing good performances. He's playing in Ulster as a second row, and I would see him as the obvious selection. And pairing for James Ryan.
Okay, so we've got Tadhg Byrne in three then. He's nipping at the heels, or is it a clear kind of distance between Henderson and Byrne?
I would say Tyburn. I like Tyburn as a player. I think he's a fantastic player. He is a different player to Ian Henderson. He's a grafter on the ground. He is came from the back row, but is a different mindset to Ian. Ian is more about trying to find a line, trying to find the ball carry, where Tyke is more. He does work different lines and finds good lines to carry, looking for offloads. Clever player, but is devastating on the ground. And for me, a great guy that you could have, and he'd probably hate to hear it, but a great guy to come off a bench. You know, he can change a game with a great steal on the ground, or you know, just a good dynamic change for the likes of Ian Henderson or even James Ryan.
It's perfect to have on the bench because he can cover the back row and the second row.
Absolutely, that's my thinking on it. I think he's. He's had experience over with Swansea and the Scarlets, should I say. So he's got he's just got that knowledge. He's worked hard. He's a grafter, and he's doing great things with Munster.
Alton Delan is your number four. This is interesting because Delan has kind of been in and out of some of the big games for Connacht and in and out of the squad for Ireland, but like, you know, there are definitely moments in almost every game that he plays where all of a sudden there's a stream of people water skiing off his back, and you're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah, like that's it. Alton is probably just one of those guys who early in his career was highlighted for the stuff that he does so well. But the problem with being a second row is that you have to do everything every week, and he has to find a certain resilience, and it's tricky when you're not easy when you're, especially if you're, you know, the kind of impactful ball carrier that he's the potential to be. So the graft for him is probably something that he had to really work on, and I think he's kind of, you know, it's taken its time for him, but I think he's come close to it now. Whether or not he would be in the match day squad, I think he'd probably need an injury, or you know, maybe you would play him with the, if you needed or to rest one of the other guys, that again he might come off the bench and provide something different be it a big ball carry. Very athletic guy, could be used well in the line-out. So I think there's potential for him. And, you know, as probably would be a... you could look at some of the other second rowers from Ulster or Quinn Rue again from Connacht. It might be a safer bet, but I think he offers something, you know, a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, totally. And he's still only 27. You know, it's like it's very early for a second row. Assuming injury, you can expect your second rows to go on to 34 or 35.
Yeah, exactly. The second rows do mature slightly differently, but generally, you know, if you look after yourself, a second row can just keep on going because, you know, there's a wiliness to playing second row. You don't have to be the fastest or the most athletic, but your ability to read a game can be really advantageous to any team.
We've got Ryan Baird. Sorry, go on.
Well, just on that point, that's an interesting one. Do you see that level of longevity with James Ryan? Do you think he has that sort of ability to read the game, and can we expect like a Paul O'Connell length of a career from James Ryan?
Yeah, well, James is a very abrasive player, and his first year he really did take Ireland by storm. He was Ireland's best ball carrier, and he, like every new second row, probably took a lot of hits and went, you know, struggled with it with injury, concussions and the like, but he's kind of come through a lot of that, and he does seem to be very resilient now, and it's I think he'll become more and more uh, a a second row that can last the length of time. I just think he has all the skills. I think he has to learn maybe an offload game and then to manage a lineout. How long he'll last, that's really, you know, good luck and fortune and interest and all of that. But I think he's 24. I got my first cap when I was 24, and he's had at least two seasons already. So, you know, to say that he might get 100 caps would be, you know, it's almost, we shouldn't be that much of an issue for him if, as long as he stays away from injury. He's all the attributes. So, yeah, I'd say why not.
I'm trying to look up the stats to see exactly how many caps he has at the moment. But our next gen, we've asked everybody for a next gen. You've got Ryan Baird down, who technically qualifies because he's only 21. But there's an argument. Mm. There's an argument definitely to put Ryan Baird in the team somewhere for all these games to accelerate what's going on.
Yeah, well, you see, when I see Ryan Baird play with Leinster, I think it's only a matter of time before he's your starter. And the only thing stopping him is Devin Toner and Scott Fardy, who are two phenomenal, experienced second rows. They shifted him into the back row for his last performance, and that actually freed him up to carry even more. His real skill and attribute is his power and his ability to break tackles. And at 21, that's pretty incredible. You would question how long he might last, but. I think he's still a long way to go in terms of his rugby brain, and he should be given a certain amount of time to fit in and to learn and to be patient. as you say, he is 21. There's another second row that I was looking at. If you wanted to look at like your lineout leader, a guy that like might be another James Ryan. Or a Devin Toner type of player is a guy called Jack Dunn, again from the Leinster Academy, and one of actually a number of big tall timber second rows that Leinster Academy are starting to manufacture and we'll see in the near future. But Jack, full of brains, a theoretical physicist studying in Trinity. His stats are quite phenomenal. He's about 6'7", 6'8". He's nearly 110 kg. And he's seen some minutes now at Leinster. So there are a lot of really good young players coming through. The question is, how do they build our rugby brain to become effective at these higher levels? You know, if they're only seeing minutes with Leinster, no AAL at the moment. You really want to see the likes of the AAL coming back and being the effective and, you know, a really competitive championship again.
Just on that, right, how does that inform your thinking if you're involved in the Ireland setup that Baird is somebody who is going to be great and you can rush him now or you can actually, you know, so he'd be taken, if you put him in the team now, he's taken the place of a six or another second row, and competing for six, you have Doris and Stander and maybe O'Mahony if you're not going to play O'Mahony at seven. So it's like world class and the Ireland captaincy and a Lions captain and one of your rising stars, or you put him in instead of Ian Henderson in the second row. So you're sacrificing something right now to give Baird the opportunity and the expertise. I don't know what the correct answer here is.
I wouldn't. I don't think quite yet. I think, as you say, in the back row, you've got some really physical, hard guys, tough players, and you've also got the likes of Reese Ruddock, Dan Levy, some really, really smart, tough players who have probably earned the right ahead of Ryan Baird. I do think Ryan Baird is a phenomenal athlete, and I see a great future for him. But he is only 21, and he just needs to soak things up. And I think it would need a couple of injuries in the second row for him to get a look in.
So we should all cool the jets on getting the young players into the team earlier, that actually the right thing to do is try and win games and build a winning culture.
Yeah, I think so. But I think there's a pecking order. The likes of, as we've spoken, like Tadhg Byrne and Ulton Dolan and these guys all deserve a chance to prove themselves, and probably are more deserving of a crack than Ryan Baird at this stage.
You mentioned Jack Dunn there. I know in Munster there's obviously a lot of excitement around Thomas Ahern as well. Mm. This position is looking kind of exciting for Ireland. Like, this is obviously our depth chart. It looks like a position where we have a hell of a lot of depth. Is there a way of utilising that to its best capacity? Is there maybe a bit of back row minutes to be got for a couple of these players to ensure that everybody's kind of brought up to speed pretty quickly?
Yeah, I think that is a valid point for sure. Like, I know Jack Dunn has come on occasion for Dan Levy, and Leinster are trying very hard to rotate their squads, and that is it. That, especially if you're coming off the bench, I think it could be quite interchangeable. These young second rowers are so athletic that you can be quite interchangeable if you're coming in on as a six, and it'd be quite a freedom. Certainly, when I was coming through, I played a bit at number eight. It's a great freedom to be able to play in the back row on occasion. And as you say, anything to get some minutes, especially right now, as there's no other games except the ones for Leinster. So, for sure.
Yeah, that I just reading a bit about Jack Dunn there. Full points in his leaving cert, so it's going to be interesting to see where his career takes him on and off the field. You mentioned Paul O'Connell. We've had a comment in here about the difference that he's going to make and what his biggest. Sorry to find it here. Jamie Porter wants to know. Question from Al: what, if any, is Paulie's biggest challenge as Ireland's forwards coach? It's interesting too that he's straight in as forwards coach, and so it's clearly like he's not coming in as an underling for everybody else. There's going to be a team who are working with him and to him, and you know it's a big gig. So what is his biggest challenge going to be?
I suppose he's got a number of challenges. He's got one that obviously the results, you know, if his results don't go his way, then pressure comes on from the outside, but I don't think that'll be really what'll be bothering him. I think he'll want to obviously make an impact with the players, both as from an individual kind of perspective where he's working with them in terms of what they need to become better players. I think from a he will obviously want to instill some sort of. He'll want to lift, I suppose, just lift the skill level, lift the physicality, bring a character or a personality to the squad that reflects him. Certainly the pack. I think you could look at the lineup and you could say, okay, this is something that he could really get his teeth into. Now he's had a change at hooker. He's had a change at second row. So the question will be, does he rip up what's there and start afresh, or does he work with what's there? Like, I can remember when we were in a situation where we had a change of forward coach, and Niall O'Dullivan stepped down for Gert Small, and we had a playbook that was 10 years old. It had hundreds upon hundreds of lineouts that most of us were very, very used to. And the easy thing would have been just to continue with that because everybody knew them. But Gert completely changed the line. The lineout completely changed. Everybody, he worked off one single lineout as opposed to what we had about 20 different setups. He had one single lineout and was very exact. And it was no surprise that it had this kind of really galvanizing effect that ended up us winning a Grand Slam the following year. Not to completely say it was down to him, but it was probably what we kind of needed. We needed a change. We didn't think about it because we'd been doing it for so long, but we needed a change. And it may be a case of, you know, Paul being able to see that from the outside and come in and put his little stamp and being able to really change, you know, and affect change within the squad.
Is there any concern about the fact that he hasn't actually had a seasoned coaching career at this point, that this is effectively his second major gig and the first gig didn't last very long?
Yeah, he was involved with Stade Francais. I certainly not in a position to be able to say, you know, say whether or not it'll work out or not. I think it's very exciting. I think it'd be very exciting for any of the players to work with someone of his talent, his credentials as a player. I know him as a person, and I think he'd be fantastic. I think he got frustrated in his first gig with Stade Francais. I think it was a tough challenge, and he felt he should just walk away. And I know exactly how difficult it is coming from rugby and wanting to be involved in rugby, but it's not easy because you love the game so much. Yet the closer you are to it, the harder it is for you to you miss it more the closer you are to it almost. So I need a young family, and so now maybe the time is right for him to come back into it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any issue with his rugby knowledge. I think as a forwards coach, you're providing rugby knowledge. It's how he can communicate it, and how easy it is for him to communicate with guys, rather than he's no longer a player, so he has to communicate in a different way. And that'll be a challenge for him, no doubt. But he's such a great rugby brain that I think he'll be fantastic.
All right, Mal, good stuff. Thanks a million for this today. Cheers.
Great. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.